I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Hour of Power, two Catholics with a PhD in common sense, the Terry and Jesse Show. This program is rated PG, praise God. Terry, are you on duty, my friend?
I'm reporting for duty, sir. I'm excited about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Jesse, we are now in Lent. This is like a retreat to go deeper and deeper into the passion and death of Christ and the resurrection. It's all there. I can't wait for the Easter Triduum to come. But today, Jesse, we have a short reading from the Gospel of Luke. And I want to mention also, before we do the Gospel, at the second segment, I did an interview with a woman who had worked in the L.A. Diocese for the Religious Ed Congress for over 10 years, and she tells it all in the sense of good news that went on. Well, how could good news come? Well, the attendances are way down. World Youth Day, our Youth Day, and the adult numbers are way down. And when we talk about that with her, you're going to say, praise God, because they're losing people because they're not teaching the faith. And that's the message I would want to give to the administration that's putting this event on. So we're going to have that in the second segment. It'll be a pre-recorded interview, and it tells it all. And I'm just happy she was willing to do it. Now, I disguised her voice, so you won't know who she is, or he. Hey, Jess, let's read that good news of the gospel.
I want to read the first reading today because because of the pro-life debates that we're having right now, especially with liberal Catholic politicians, I think they need to hear the first reading because it's just so clear.
Go for it, brother.
First reading today, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20.
Yep.
Moses is already in the latter stage of his prophetic ministry, and he just throws down the gauntlet. He tells the Israelites, I mean, he's been dealing with idolatry all around the people of God, and he just gives them an ultimatum. Here's what he says, and this applies to every Catholic politician on both sides of the aisle, but Amen. Most of them seem to be coming from the Democrat Party in this day and age. Unfortunately, I don't know why. Here's what he says. Moses said to the people, remember he's speaking to us right now too. Today I've set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, loving him and walking in his ways, that's what we call walking with the Lord, walking in his ways and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and grow numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. So notice what Moses just said. He basically said, if you live in a state of grace, you're going to enter the promised land. That's what he said. What's the promised land for us? Heaven was a promised land for them back then, Israel. But what's Moses calling them to? Live in a state of grace. Now Moses talks about the consequences of not living in a state of grace. He says this, if, however, you turn away your hearts and will not listen, but are led astray and adore and serve other gods, lowercase g, false gods, I tell you now that you will certainly perish. You will not have a long life on the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and occupy. I will call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death. Catholic politicians. I just threw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing and the curse. Choose life then, that you and your descendants may live by loving the Lord your God, heeding his voice, and holding fast to him. For that will mean life for you. That means eternal life. A long life for you to live on the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The first reading of the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm today basically backs it up. The psalm says, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. And Terry, I like what it says here. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the Democrats. I mean, excuse me, the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. That's a powerful psalm that just backs up the first reading. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of sinners, but delight in the law of the Lord. And remember, God chooses life. That's what the first reading told us.
Wow, I'm glad you did the first reading, brother, because I also like the verse before the gospel for today's Mass. It says, "Repent, says the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." See, that's a strong message to us today, individually. Now, today, I'm just going to say this before we get Bishop Sheen. Every Thursday, what do? We repent and we go down on our knees for 2 hours from 7 o'clock in the evening to 9 o'clock here at the Sacred Heart Chapel to pray for our priests, our bishops, and the Holy Father, our leaders in the church. We want to pray for the priests and our bishops and the Holy Father. Why? Because we're in a crisis right now. They need our prayers. And so it's easy to complain about what they're doing, but let's pray for them. Let's not forget to do that.
Terry, I just want to modify. You're about to introduce Venerable Fulton Sheen.
Yep.
You know what? I was thinking about it, me and my wife.
Tell me.
You know what? He doesn't come in a choo-choo train. We were out. He comes in a locomotive, Terry.
There you go. A locomotive.
Locomotive. He comes in a... He either comes in a freight train and locomotive. Yeah. That's what he comes in.
I agree. You know what?
Locomotive.
Tell Anita I agree with him. A locomotive.
She said. She goes, you guys, tell Terry he comes in a locomotive, not a choo-choo train.
And
yeah.
Bishop Sheen's stronger than Superman. He can stop a train. I love it, Jess.
Locomotive.
Dear God. Locomotive Fulton Sheen. Here we go.
That's right.
This is from his book, My Uncle Fulton Sheen. It's on 3 to get married. You know, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. So this is a powerful comment. And regarding love, here's what he says. The basic error of humankind, you know what, Jesse? They modified this because I know I read it. He said, the basic error of mankind. That's interesting. They want to make it, you know, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah, right.
The basic error of mankind has been to assume that only two are needed for love, you and me, or society and me. Doesn't that sound like it today? Mm. Or humanity and me. Really, it takes three. Self, other selves, and God. You and me and God. Love is triune, or it dies, just like it's dying right now in our culture. Mm. It requires three virtues, faith, hope, and charity, which intertwine and purify and regenerate one another. Beautifully stated by Fulton Sheen, Jesse.
That's right. Terry, you know what? We got a few minutes. We do have time. The gospel is so short. Let me just mention here.
Oh, yeah.
Luke 9:22-25. We got some time. Jesus said to his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed on the third day and be raised. Then he said to all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself to take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. For whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself? The Greeks actually says, or lose his soul.
Hmm.
Terry, the gospel's hard.
It isn't.
It isn't a cakewalk. It isn't just going to some retreat and saying the sinner's prayer and you're once saved, always saved. Following Jesus Christ, Terry, it's a full commitment. It's just not a one-time prayer that made you feel good and gave you a liver quiver.
Jesse, you nailed it. And I'm just going to set this up because... the message in the modern church in many places, it's not that. It's balloons and banners and butterflies and also rainbow stoles and all that. Now, see, this is not what Jesus Christ taught. And when we come back from the break, I really want to encourage you to listen to this woman or this man who worked in the Diocese of Los Angeles at the Religious Ed Congress for the last 10 years or more. And she or he, because I'm disguising the person, I don't want to, I like having a mole on the inside. She gives me information. What she has to say to you is good news because we need the church to repent just like we need to repent. And how do we repent? We turn to the gospel. We can't be one with the world. And the people that are at that Religious Ed Congress, many of them we're going to talk about, are with the world because they're teaching things that are contrary to what we call the perennial teachings of the church. Now, I have no idea why the people in charge aren't doing anything to stop this. I know maybe, and this is my take, Jess, and I'm going to get your take. I never told you this, Jess, but I thought when Archbishop Gomez came in, I thought he was going to clean up the mess. Well, as soon as he got in, he made a decision not to let retired Cardinal Mahoney do confirmations. And when he told Mahoney he didn't do it, Mahoney went to Rome, and Rome stepped in and told the Archbishop Gomez, hey, you can't do that. Let him
back
do what
off.
He wants.
Back off from our boy Mahoney.
Here's my point, Jesse. He's a human being. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he thinks, hey, if I come down, man, I'm going to lose my job, or I'm not going to be able to do any good because they're going to always back Cardinal Mahoney, and I can't do a thing. Well, I hope that's not the case. I hope he will have.
But not only that, Terry. He also Mahoney has a deep state within the Archdiocese.
Right.
Lost
everybody.
Much like Obama left a deep state.
Yep.
That's been trying to hamper everything that President Trump does.
Yep.
Mahoney's done the same thing in the LA Archdiocese. I know this because
you're right.
Friends that work in the diocese tell me that he has a deep state within. They're just basically hamstringing everything Gomez tries to do.
Well, I've got good news. You're not going to hear it anywhere else other than the Terry and Jesse show. We're going to find out how the financial losses from last weekend's Religious Ed Congress are going to help bring, I hope, more orthodoxy back, because you know what? You hit them in the pocketbook, and that's what happened last week. When we come back, we're going to have an interview with an individual who works with the diocese, and he or she is going to tell us what happened and what their thinking is, why they're having so few people coming now. Their numbers are way down. And you'll hear all about that and much more when we come back.
Here, let me just mention, I got a men's conference this Saturday at Greenville, Rhode Island.
Good.
At the St. Philip Church from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The
be men there.
Of St. Joseph International. Be there or be nowhere. I'll be Greenville, Rhode Island this Saturday at a men's conference. Doing some power preaching with devil-destroying theology, PPWDDT.
I love it. Hey, get your friends to listen to this next segment. If you want to know what's going on with the Religious Ed Congress, that's good. It's that they lost a lot of money. Yeah, you're going to find out how they did it. And I think hopefully it'll get their attention to change what they're doing. We'll come right back with that special interview that's exclusive on Virgin Most Powerful Radio on the Terry and Jesse Show. We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four, talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
By the Ashes, What is Lent? It's a free PDF Bible study. Go to my website, Jesse Romero. It says Jesse's free downloads. I'm giving away all my Bible studies. I've been writing these things for 15, 20 years. I'm putting them all every single day on my website. And I just want to give all this stuff away for free now. I mean, what good does it do having 1,000 pages written of Bible studies, which I do? And I'm just giving it all away now. I've got a book that I was going to publish. It's free. It's just get it. It's called a Catholic Response to Protestant Questions. It's a book I was going to release, but I'm giving it for free. It's on my website. Every question a Protestant will ask you, I answer it with Scripture. I've got graphs and charts there that no Catholic apologist has in the country. In fact, they're all asking me for this stuff.
That's awesome, Jesse. Hey, Jesse, they just told me, our engineer, we had a problem with the recording, but I think we can start it now.
Oh, okay.
This is the woman who works at the Archdiocese of L.A. I have a special guest who is an eyewitness at the Religious Ed Congress in Anaheim in California, where normally 40,000 people attend. I want to disguise her voice because I never want her to be identified by anybody, because she's working on the inside. She's seen this take place, this event, for 10 years or more. I want to welcome you to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, Terry, I am so glad to be here. I love you guys.
Well, we love you too. And we love you that you're willing to give us an eyewitness report from the Religious Ed Congress. I wasn't down there this year, but you were, and you've been there for over 10 years. And it sounds like there were some interesting things that went on, especially knowing that the numbers are down. But why don't you share a little bit what you saw there regarding Father James Martin? And before I ask you that, I just want to let everybody know, if they don't know who Father James Martin, a Jesuit, is, he's the priest who runs around the country saying that the Catechism of the Catholic Church has to change on homosexuality, that the first chapter of Romans isn't correct regarding homosexuality. And he's doing this for years, and nobody seems to be stopping him. So I want to ask you, what was your experience this past weekend in Anaheim regarding what you saw and what you heard?
I was in the room where he was. He was in a large room at the convention center, probably seated about 1,400 people, and it was just filled wall to wall, and he was talking his usual thing about the fact that the catechism has got to change, the church has got to change and embrace the LGBTQ community, and just, it's the same drum, he just keeps beating it, and of course everyone's clapping and cheering and talking that it's great, they love him.
Let me ask you this, you witnessed that. Did he actually say anything regarding his visit with the Holy Father? Because I'm going to set the stage again. In December, Father Martin met with Pope Francis, and just last week we reported that the Ad Liminal Bishops Conference, their meeting that they had with the Holy Father, that one of the bishops said that the Holy Father was upset with Father Martin because he was promoting his picture with the Pope and trying to say that the Pope endorses everything I'm doing, and it angered Pope Francis. And did he actually promote that picture and saying that, yeah, I'm in good standings with the Pope and he agrees with what I'm doing, or am I putting words in Father Martin's voice or his statements? What did he tell people about that picture, and did he show it? I had word that he actually showed the picture of the Pope in his presentation. What did you see?
There were two big screens for his PowerPoint, and towards the end of his speech, he had the picture up there with him sitting with the Pope, and he was talking about how lucky he was to be able to sit one-on-one with the Pope, and they had a really good conversation, and the Pope understood and agreed him, and basically implied that the Pope said his mission was, he didn't say in so many words, but pretty much implied that he had to go.
Wow, it's just so sad. Somebody, that needs to be stopped. And, you know, we're going to pray and continue to make reparation for that, because so many good people are being deceived. And I sure wouldn't want to be in a position of authority to approve something as bad as that. You've been there over 10 years. Can you tell us, on the Youth Day, it's on Thursday of this past week, what do they normally get for, how many young people actually show up for Youth Day from your experience? What's the number look like?
Probably 4 or 5 years back, we were at our peak with like 15,000 youth signed up. And this year it was under 10,000.
Wow. And that's over $250,000 loss of revenue. I did the math real quick. Wow. At $40 a pop. That had to hurt financially the diocese. What about the adult? Because I got word from some other friends, they seem to think that each year it seems like the numbers are going down. Is that a fair statement, or am I exaggerating?
No, I think you're right. Because the past few years, it's been down dramatically. I think our max was 45,000 about 6-7 years ago. And this year, if we broke 25,000, I would have been amazed because it really was not that crowded.
Yeah, and that's a couple million dollars in revenue. And that's got to hurt the diocese. Personally, I'm actually happy that people are voting with their pocketbook. Many of my friends who are catechists tell me, I don't go there anymore. Because I don't want to be told that what I'm teaching, which is the Catholic faith, is not what I should be teaching. I listen to you guys. I listen to a lot of Orthodox teachings, and I'm just fed up with what I would consider heterodox, that term false teaching. And that's what, you know, some of, not all of the conferences, they have good speakers too. I don't want to say that it's all bad, but a good portion in it. And Mary, what I wanted to ask you is it seems like this year there were more dissenters presenting at the Religious Ed Congress than ever before. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and all of the sessions just seemed to be repeating. It was just someone with a little different flavor on it, but it was the same message over and over and over again. Usually I take a look at some of the workshops, and I think there's like 280 choices for the weekend. I couldn't even find three that I would be interested in seeing.
Now, is it true that there was only one conference regarding marriage, which is in a crisis, out of all that whole weekend, that there was one conference regarding marriage? Is that true?
Yeah, it was called How to Be Married and Stay Engaged with Dr. Jim Healy. And that room was overflowing, and I think it seated maybe 200, 250 people who were spilling out into the hallway, and they were telling him they had to leave. There were so many sad couples walking away because they couldn't get into the room, and they wanted it, and there was only one session in the whole weekend. It was so sad.
I think that that's the message. You know, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. St. John Paul II said that in his letter to the family, so maybe they'll change on that too. You've been there over 10 years. You give us a little hope that maybe things can change from people like you who are working to do help with it. What's the goal here? Do you think there's a turnaround? Can we have hope that maybe someday there'll be Orthodox speakers at the Religious Ed Congress?
I know, based on my faith, that if we keep praying, God knows what. He's got a will and a desire for how this is going to be. So we just got to keep being there so that when the opportunity comes up and he says, I need my soldiers, get up here. They're available and ready to go. And I like doing this. I'm going to keep doing
good.
And I role model and tell people what I think about stuff. And I've heard rumblings of people who aren't at the very top but are lower that say, stay strong. Things are going to change. And we need all of you who are the conservative ones still here and fighting when it happens.
I have to say this. What you just said inspired me that you're going to hang in there because, you know, it's easy just to walk away. Isn't it? But you're not doing that.
Absolutely. Just throw up your hands and say, I'm done. And we thought we were short over 100 volunteers for helping out in all the rooms and stuff. So there'll be someone who's in charge and people taking tickets. And there's one person to take tickets and they have five doors.
So they really are feeling the pain of this. And I would say this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the cost of putting out unorthodox material as Catholic teachings at a conference like this, people are beginning to voice their opinion by not showing up. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. I think that's true.
Well, I hope and pray that this year the people in the power will realize that they need to change because I think more people are being exposed to what's going on there. And we're actually just saying, please give us the perennial teachings of the church. Nothing less than that. That's all we're asking for. And I think that we need to pray for, like Father James Martin, that he will be converted to his Catholic faith and not be like a Ford and have a new idea and say that, no, we're going to change the catechism of the Catholic Church or the Bible. Chapter 1 of Romans is all wrong. I mean, the audacity to say that blows me away. What would you encourage our listeners to do regarding their own parish where there's compromise going on? How do we overcome this? You're an on fire listener of our show. I know you're personally, I know that you're on fire for the Lord, but what encouraging words would you give our listeners who have been maligned by false teaching? What advice would you give them?
I definitely think you should say something to your pastor. Always role model your orthodoxy. When I go up to communion, I kneel and receive on the tongue. And everyone sees me, and I'm not doing it to be over pious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had one priest, we were talking about this at Congress, and he said, when people kneel, they're making themselves look better than everybody else. I was like, really? You think that when someone's kneeling to receive communion, they think they're better than everybody else? Wow. No. You are role modeling how to show proper reverence for our Lord and write your bishop. Write him a letter. If all of us were writing and saying, Bishop, why aren't we following what the Vatican tells us, what the Catechism tells us? Why aren't we doing these things? If they get inundated by a bunch of letters, they'll do something. The problem is we're silent, and silence means acceptance. So we need to write letters, and like you said, vote with your pocketbook and pray every day. Do your rosary and keep church in mind, priests in mind, everybody in your prayers. That's all we can do.
I love your style. Father Benedict Rochelle, back in the 1990s, was at the Religious Ed Congress, and he actually corrected a priest before his talk that said there were, Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead. Can you believe that, folks? And Father Benedict said, that man, what he gave to you is false. Jesus Christ did resurrect, or our faith would be useless, as St. Paul said. And then when he did that, he actually got booted out. He never could go back to that Congress. And he called me and he said, Terry, congratulations. I have something in common with you. I said, what's that, Father? We both got kicked out of the Congress. Well, I laughed, but Father Benedict Rochelle, holy man. And again, I'm not saying every talk at this Congress is bad, because they have good speakers too. They put them in, but I really want purity of doctrine. That's what is going to convince people to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And compromised theology is just like poison to the soul. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think that's why the numbers are down. I think that's why the nuns are going up. Because when we start looking like Protestants, why should they stay in the church that has all these rules when we look like a Protestant? And we walk like a Protestant. Why don't you just go become a Protestant?
Amen. I like your style. Thank you for taking the time to share your experience at the Religious Ed Congress in Anaheim, California. And I will pray that you eventually will become someone in authority at the diocese level. They actually will say, hey, this girl's sharp, man. I would love to see more Orthodox people be there, because I know many of my friends who work for the Chancery office. I won't say their names because I don't want to expose them, because I know from past history that when people have a friendship with me, their job position is in danger. This was the 1990s when the previous administration was there. Not now, but the point of it is you're working, and I want to encourage you to continue, because I hope and pray that someday you'll be in a position to say, no, we're not going to invite him. We're going to invite someone who believes in the teachings of the Catholic Church 100%. So
thank you for
taking the time to join us at the Terry and Jesse Show. And I know you're a daily listener, too. And I got to thank you for that, too. May God richly bless you and your family. Wow, Jesse. When I heard that, when this person was talking to me, it gave me inspiration that things can change. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that Religious Ed Congress and how it is changing basically by the people not coming, going to it and not spending their money to go. We'll be back with much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In the Footsteps of Christ, a Lenten Reflection from St. John Paul II. St. Paul writes in Philippians 2, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Coming in human likeness and found in human appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. According to Pope St. John Paul II, believers are called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who, in perfect obedience to the will of the Father, emptied himself and humbly gave himself to us in selfless and total love, even unto death on a cross. Calvary eloquently proclaims the message of the Blessed Trinity's love for human beings of all times and places. The love of God poured into our hearts ought to inspire and transform who we are and what we do. Christians must not think that they can seek the true good of their brothers and sisters without embodying the charity of Christ. The Son of God loved us first with an unconditional love which asks nothing in return. If this is so, how can we fail to see the season of Lent as a providential opportunity for altruism and generosity? I'm Matthew Arnold, and this has been a Lenten Reflection from St. John Paul II on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, rated PG, praise God. Terry, that was an incredible interview you did.
Well, Jesse,
our friend, our listener.
Yeah, I don't want to say her name or his name, and because she's working on the inside. But Jesse, my experience of going to that Congress since the 1970s, it gave me some hope that maybe people are voting with their pocketbook. I know that they lost $1.5 million, and that doesn't include the kickback you get with heads in beds at the hotel. Every person at that hotel, all the hotels that they were staying at, $5 a night goes back to the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Guess what? 1/3 of the people weren't there to get hotel rooms. That's a lot of money, plus the revenue from lunches, from there's all kinds of kickbacks. I know I ran a conference at the Anaheim Convention Center. It's not cheap. I'm going to tell you right now, in about 24 more days, that bill's going to be due, and someone's going to have to pay it. Now, maybe they got some donor that's going to come up with the money, but I'll tell you what, it was loud and clear from what she told me that the diocese realized numbers are down. And unfortunately, Jesse, they don't understand that it was the false teachers that they have at the conference. She told me in the meeting, she doesn't speak out. Unfortunately, she's just trying to be on the inside. But she said they don't get that the reason people aren't coming is because they're disappointed with the false teachings that are being presented. And so maybe, you know, in a couple more years of having lower and lower attendance, that maybe we'll get their attention. Because you know what, Jesse? You got to hit them in the pocketbook. And that's what happened last weekend.
Yeah, Terry, this, unfortunately, I think you're being kind of generous. I think it's top heavy with dissent.
Of course it is. There's just a few of our guys there.
Yeah, by far.
Four guys that I know personally who are Orthodox.
Yeah, so I would say categorically that the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, they're allowing, and I don't know why. I don't have a crystal ball. Okay, nope. I'm not a prophet. I don't know everything.
Right.
I don't know why Archbishop Gomez, who had a good reputation in San Antonio, I don't know why he's allowing this conference to poison religious educators year after year. Okay? People's minds are being poisoned. And a lot of people are required to attend the event because that's how they get certified in their diocese.
Yep.
I mean, you have so many pro-homosexual speakers who are like Father James Martin, Father Greg Boyle. They're openly trying to normalize the homosexual lifestyle. It's like this is the agenda here.
That's right.
And they refuse to uphold the church's teachings that homosexual acts are intrinsically evil. And another thing that bugs me is that they promote all these apostolates that are dissenting apostolates, dignity, and all these other, instead of promoting the authentic apostolates like courage.
Exactly. Okay?
A Roman Catholic apostolate for men and women, CourageRC.org, that promotes the true teachings of the church. Or how about Joseph Ciambria? He should be on there every single year speaking.
That's right.
He's a former homosexual porn star who gives authentic Catholic spiritual direction and advice to people suffering same-sex attraction. That's JosephCiambria.com, JosephCiambria.com. And Terry, going back to the authority issue, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, back in 1986, when he was the head of the CDF, he sent out a letter to all the bishops in the world called the following quote, pastoral care of homosexual persons.
That's right.
And this is what he told all the bishops around the world. He said this quote, no authentic pastoral program will include organizations in which homosexual persons associate with each other without clearly stating that homosexual activity is immoral.
That's right.
And he also said this, quote, We wish to make it clear that departure from the Catholic Church's teaching or silence about it in an effort to provide pastoral care is neither caring
Amen.
Nor pastoral. Only what is true can ultimately be pastoral. The neglect of the church's position prevents homosexual men and women from receiving the care they need and deserve, close quote. Nobody's listening to what Pope Benedict XVI Emeritus is saying. It's just like he never existed.
Exactly.
He was so clear on this. And now they're getting these renegade priests running around the country that are teaching theological error. And I don't know why, but Archbishop Gomez is allowing these problematic speakers to be featured at the REC, which is a good name for it, not REC. For me, it's WRECK. It's wrecking people's faith. And the fact is, Terry, I would hate to be a priest or a bishop promoting this dissent on their particular judgment.
Well, Jesse, just to confirm what you're saying, when my friend was at the talk by Father Martin with 1,400 people, and he was talking about the church's catechism is wrong on homosexuality, the Bible is wrong, all this, nobody walked out. Everybody was cheering for him. It was a packed house. And what does that tell me? That there's a lot of people who do not either believe in what the Catholic Church teaches on this topic. And what she also told me, Jesse, in the speaker's room where Father Martin was around, he is a very persuasive man. I've never met the man, but she said he goes, he's very good at talking to people, and he's persuasive. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of a 4th century heretic, okay? You know what
Father Arius.
Arius was very persuasive. See, here's the challenge here. Father Martin, maybe I can't judge his heart because I don't know his heart, but objectively speaking, he's corrupting the morals of people. And the thing that saddens me, Jesse, is they could have that many people in a room and nobody walks out and says, wait a minute, that's not what our church teaches. That's how far it's gone. Now, you quoted a 1986 document. Jesse, that was almost 30 years ago. More than 30 years ago, by 35 years ago. So here's the point. It's only gotten worse. There's a definite movement inside the church. Did you notice I didn't say outside, Jess? Inside the church to change what we've taught for 2,000 years regarding homosexuality. And I just want to say, as a Joe Sixpack, a guy in the pew, I want to say, please, when I pray tonight for our priests and bishops, have the guts to call it for what it is. And don't worry about your job, okay? Don't worry about getting fired. Maybe you need to get fired for speaking the truth. I've had many priests. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now on the top of my, you know, Father Murr, who comes on our radio show? He got fired at his parish. You know why? He wouldn't let heretics teach in the church at where he was at, the nuns. He fired the nuns. Okay, you know what happened to him? He was told, you got to hire them back or you're fired. You know what he did? He said, oh, okay, I got to walk. I can't live. I was ordained to teach what the Catholic Church teaches. I made a promise before God. And I want to encourage our brother priests and bishops and the Holy Father and all those people responsible to say, look, I'm going to meet Jesus Christ. He's given me a mission to teach what you've taught through his bride, the church. Compromise doesn't get you to heaven, Holy Father. Compromise doesn't get you to heaven, Archbishops, Cardinals, Priests, Terry, Jesse. Compromise, Jesse. Preach, never preach, compromise.
Preach it.
I'm done.
Terry, God bless you, man. I'm glad that you're speaking. I mean, I can tell.
I'm done.
There's this. You're speaking out of love for the church.
Amen.
You know, Terry, the LA REC is a dumpster fire of heresy.
Yep.
You know, it just finished over the weekend. But it's another year of confusion,
yep.
Another year of promoting dissent, another year of heresy.
Yep.
Center stage at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress, or the LA REC. That event's been taking place since 1967.
56, actually. It's gone. It actually started at the LA airport in a hotel. But go on, Jess.
And every year they feature speakers that are outright opposed to the Catholic Church's teachings. And despite faithful Catholics, and we can't stop, you know, crying out for either the event to end or for faithful speakers to be given the spotlight, nothing's been done. And the LA REC continues to be a source of scandal. And again, as in the past years, Speakers known to embrace the LGBT ideology and other heresies are being given the spotlight. Father Brian Massengale, Father Daniel Horan, Arthur Fitzmaurice, the list goes on. And faithful Catholics were wondering what it will take to keep these theological dissenters, these theological deviants, from getting the teaching spotlight in one of the biggest archdioceses in the United States. And likely, I'm like Terry, like you just said, we're going to have to hit the bishops square in the wallet since they don't respond to our doctrinal concerns. And I'm glad the good faithful Catholics have hit the LA diocese right in the wallet, because Archbishop Gomez seems to be deaf, tone deaf to our pleas.
Yeah, Jesse, LA diocese is the largest diocese in the country. We're twice the size of New York or Chicago. So we got over 5 million Catholics. And so these are souls that need to be cared for. And, you know, maybe one of our listeners just suggested this with a text, that we should be out there next year praying our rosary all weekend long and circling the convention center with people with prayers. I mean, that might be a good campaign. I like that, whether they're at church or at home, we pray for that, because it's got to stop, because what's happening is what Monsignor George Kelly said. Where's the church going where its leaders take them? And right now, I'm going to be honest with you, many of our leaders are not being faithful to what Jesus Christ taught and their mandate when they were ordained as bishops, ordained as priests. They made a promise before God to teach what the Catholic Church teaches. I don't want them to see them go to hell because they've been compromising. I want them to get to heaven. I pray for my leaders. And tonight at 7 o'clock, come on down to the Sacred Heart Chapel. We have the Blessed Sacrament there. We'll pray for our leaders, because talk is cheap. The supply exceeds the demand. We need to get down on our knees and pray for our leaders, because the church is a mess right now. I'm just being frank. Why don't you really tell me what you think? I'm telling you, Jesse, we have a crisis on our hands, and we have a crisis of saints all the way from the top to the bottom.
And I'll tell you, there's as in John 6:63, guess what? There's nowhere else to go. This is it. This is the one true church of Jesus Christ, started by the God-man. There's nowhere else to go. But this is why there's a dumpster fire in the LA diocese and in the Vatican and in many places.
Yeah.
Because the devil knows he needs to cause diabolical disorientation, because he knows that his final attack is against the family. And that's exactly what he's doing. Catholics, stand up, onward and upward.
Wow, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed, and we're too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Terry, the LA Religious Education Congress is a lot of faithful Catholics, their eyes are opening, they're red-pilling.
Yeah.
They're
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, they're being woke in a good way. And I'll tell you, the problem is the person that's running it. Mm-hmm. There was a nun that was running it, a modernist nun for many years.
Adrienne Whitaker.
And I forgot her name. Thanks for reminding me. And this year, well, they replaced her. When she retired, I'm thinking, okay, thanks be to God, we're going to get somebody good, a good replacement. No, this is probably as bad as Adrienne Whitaker. Her name's Sister Rosalia Mesa. She's a director of the Archdiocese Office of Religious Education. And the theme this year was called Restore Our Own Hope and Inspire, Transform, and Challenge, and Let's Continue to See the Face of Christ in Ourselves and in Our Faith Communities. What do we know about Sister Rosalia Mesa? Well, she's a zealous promoter of leftist causes. Indeed, she got her PhD
up north.
She got her PhD, and she wrote her PhD on a Brazilian educator named Paulo Freire. Paulo Freire was an icon of social change through education, and Paulo Freire, his ideas about social change are evident from his 1961 to 62 literacy campaign in Brazil. And while purporting to teach the uneducated how to read, it did more to instill the Marxist notions of class struggle than pursue any educational goals. And Sister Mesa, she wrote her PhD on this guy, Paulo Freire, who was, again, he's a Marxist.
Yep.
And so this is why, once again, nothing has changed, because with Sister Mesa at the helm of the RE Congress in the Diocese of L.A., once again, she comes from this leftist liberation Marxist school of Hispanic training, Terry.
Jesse, I'm just going to give a fun story to show and demonstrate how bad this really gets. Back in the 1990s, when I was there at the Ignatius Press booth, I had my Scott Hahn cassette tapes. Remember those things?
Yeah.
And you just mentioned Adrienne Whitaker and the others that were there. They saw me at the booth, and they came up to me and said, "Hey, you get out of here. You got to move. You can't be coming into this Congress because of my back history." They recognized me. And so they started screaming, and they started yelling, and it made a big commotion. And the security guards came over and said, "What's going on?" And I'm being real calm about it. But this lady's just out of control, screaming at me. And so the security guard just kind of says, "Well, come on over here. Let's talk a little bit." And so I keep going. Well, she's still screaming at me. And then a priest from Fresno, a charismatic priest, says, "Everybody get down on your knees." He starts praying prayers of deliverance right on the spot at the Religious Ed Congress. I thought that was appropriate. So he's praying, and finally the lady calms down, and the security guy pulls her away, and I thought they were going to tell me to leave, but they didn't. They just tried to calm her down. And why do I say this? Because they don't want people like us, Jesse. You notice they didn't invite Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, anybody like that? No, they're not going to, because what we are teaching is what the Catholic Church teaches. And they're on another level, and the level of heresy and the level of false teaching. And that's why, you know, for 40 years, I've been going there since 1972 and just scratching my head saying, when's all this going to stop? Well, I finally have got some hope that their numbers are going down each year. And maybe when they lose enough money, they're going to scratch their head and say, what do you think we should do? And somebody on the inside is going to say, how about if we bring someone like Jesse Romero to the Religious Ed Congress? How about if we bring Scott Hahn, Terry Barber. Yeah, you know, all these guys that are on fire with the true teachings of the church. People will come. And so, Jess, I just wanted to share that story. I've gotten letters from them saying that, you know, they don't want that. I could never get a booth there. I've been rejected. But you know what? I don't really care, because rejection makes me want to work harder, because I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and His bride's the church, and we have to fight for it and not compromise and never give up with this fight, because we're making progress 40 years later.
Yep. As Winston Churchill said, in the face of the German war machine, he said, I will never, 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 never give up.
That's
exactly what we, Terry and me, that's our position as well. Terry, I'll tell you, not only is the dissenting speakers, this is a problem.
Liturgies are horrible.
It could shipwreck somebody's faith.
Absolutely.
Okay? The dissent that comes out of a person's mouth that's in a position of authority, but also the events and this also endangers people's faith in a symbolic way, even sometimes probably as much or more than the heterodox teachings. I'll tell you why. You see a cadre of liturgical dancers. I mean, they don't say anything against Catholic teaching, but their actions send an undeniable message to everybody that's there that the sensuous, these ridiculous movements, that they seem to be compatible with the sacredness of the Mass.
Exactly.
And so they're going to go back to their diocese saying, Father, Bishop, we've got to do this. We've got to start dancing and stuff sensuously, because we learned this at the RE Congress, and that's the largest congress in the world, and you send us there. Terry, this nonsense, it weakens people's faith.
Absolutely.
And it weakens their understanding of the Mass, how serious and sublime this event is.
Yep.
I mean, can you believe it? I mean, if we're at the foot of the cross at Holy Mass, which we are.
Yes, we are.
Can you imagine liturgical dancers dancing sensually for years and years at this Congress at the foot of the cross? I don't think so, Terry. In fact, there was even 4 workshops this year on dancing. One was led by a Betsy Beckman, who helped create and develop the Abbey of the Arts, described as global online monastery, fostering contemplative and creative expression. And there was another member there of this monastery that taught the whole... Check this out. This one top topic. The Holy Disorder of Dancing Monks. And there was also, Terry, a homosexual priest who painted a picture of Jesus Christ as a homosexual to exhibit at the Religious Ed Congress. And also the artwork of gay iconographer William Hart McNichols. It was also displayed in the arena lobby at the Anaheim Convention Center. McNichols is a self-outed former Jesuit homosexual priest. And according to Kidridge Cherry, author at the LGBT spirituality website, Q Spirit, which often features McNichols' work, McNichols is a New Mexico artist and Roman Catholic priest whose homosexual positive icons cause controversy wherever he goes.
Jesse, one of our monthly donors just texted me this. He was at the conference, and here's what he said before Holy Mass. He said this, and this is unbelievable. He said, they played salsa music just before Holy Mass. It sounded like a nightclub, so I walked out. And you know what's interesting, Jesse? This, 2 people that have respect, that are in positions of power, mentioned this on the side. And I want to give people a little hope. One, Pope Francis says, going back to just Lent advice, put down the phone and pick up your Bible. Thank you, Holy Father, for that statement. And here's somebody, see if you can pick who said this. This is from the Catholic News Agency. Repent and accept the gospel. President Trump said that on Ash Wednesday. What, Jesse? Can you believe? And we're talking about liberalism in our church, and we've got a president who talks about the sacredness of life. And
who's not even Catholic.
Not even Catholic. And he tells us, repent and accept the gospel on Ash Wednesday. What was the last president that said that on? Can you tell me, Jesse?
I don't know any president.
None. Harry,
and this is on the CNA website, which is the U.S. Bishop's website. So, they're saying that President Trump said, the Trumps and Melania, First Lady, said in a message that they wish everyone observing Ash Wednesday a peaceful and prayerful day.
Awesome. Okay? Awesome.
Thank you, President. Yeah, and he also said also repent and accept the gospel. The both President and the First Lady said that.
That's good news.
Ash Wednesday statement.
Isn't it weird, Jesse, that we're in this world right now?
A Protestant president is saying this, and I don't hear Catholic bishops saying this as loud, as clear as he's saying it.
Yeah. See, and that's what I want to ask everybody, to get down on their knees and pray for Holy Mother, the Church. We're, you know, we could be talking about other, we're talking about conversion. And just talking about conversion, the five stones of David is what we want you to do every single day, in Lent, out of Lent. Let's talk about those, Jess.
Absolutely. Just go to our website and get this one article. We're not going to get to it. It's on sacred silence. It's a bishop that's saying, quit clapping during Mass.
Thank you.
Hey, read the article. It's called Filipino Archbishop Requests Abstinence from Applause During Mass. It's such a good article. He said, knock it off. You're at Calvary. Would you be clapping? Would the Mother of God and beloved John the Apostle, would they be clapping as Jesus Christ is dying on the cross? No.
No way.
Read the article, but let's go to the five stones.
You got it. We got it.
That comes from 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath. All of us are Davids.
Yep.
The culture of death is Goliath, and the culture of death is inside the church as well right now. So here's the five stones that you should all be carrying in your war bag. Number one, pray the rosary every day. Don't make excuses. If you're not praying the rosary, you're not on the team.
Amen.
Okay? Pray it from your heart. Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. That, of course, includes every Sunday, the six holy days of obligation, as often as possible, which includes visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Become one of those weekly adorers. Spend an hour of power every week in front of the Blessed Sacrament at your parish. Number three, read the Bible every day. Simple. All you got to do is read the daily Mass readings. Read the daily Mass readings. You can even get them on your iPhone. It takes 5 to 10 minutes. And then be like Samuel the prophet. Say, Lord, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Number four, Fridays, day of penance, fast, abstain from meat, especially right now here in Lent, obviously. But do that throughout the year. And if you want to bump up your game, go old school. Wednesdays and Fridays, do penance on both days. That's what I'm doing just year round.
Yep.
No meat Wednesdays and Fridays. Fasting, one full meal, two small meals that don't even equal one meal. I'm doing that on Wednesdays and Fridays for the rest of my life because things are so bad at this point. I need to bump up my game. And number five, if you're in a state of grace, praise the Lord. If you're in a mortal sin, run to confession as soon as possible, like right after the show. But if you're in a state of grace, maintain that by going to confession at least once a month to maintain the state of grace. Terry, you're
Thank done. You, I'm Jesse. Back. When we come back tomorrow, we have Janet Smith, Dr. Janet Smith, talking on the morality of homosexuality and what the Bible has to say about it and how do we minister to people with same-sex attraction who are acting on it. In other words, how do we help them to live holy lives? Dr. Janet Smith's an expert on this topic, and I want you to tell your friends to tune in tomorrow. Jesse, final thoughts always. What state should we be living in, brother?
Last time I checked, live in a state of grace. Last time I checked,
yep.
Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Get holy or die trying.
We want to thank all of you in supporting Virgin Most Powerful. We couldn't do this without you. We're speaking like the truth is setting us free, and it sets you free too. So I want to encourage you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Come join us tonight with the Holy Hour for our priests, bishops, and the Holy Father every Thursday night at the Sacred Heart Chapel. May God richly bless you and your family. Remember, tomorrow, Dr. Janet Smith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.